LiveWire with Ling Pang.
Hello, this is Ling Pang on LiveWire. I'm delighted to be joined today by John Rose of Showboat TV.
Hi Ling, how are you doing? Nice to speak to you.
You're welcome. Tell me the beginning of Showboat and how the whole thing sort of developed into today's production.
Okay, well, let's rewind right back to the beginning. I'll try and cut a very, very, very long story into a slightly long story. But we began as an amateur filmmaking group, and I teamed up with a couple of the amateur drama groups locally, and they all said, oh, we'd like to make a film. And that's where it all kind of started. We were making films on VHS, if any of your listeners
I remember
VHS.
Yes, I remember that. And exactly. Tell us the journey.
Yeah, well, from there, then we decided to use the internet as it started gathering speed, and using that as just a way of publicising the productions. And then Real Player came into existence, and we could upload actual video content onto the websites, which was groundbreaking. Obviously, then came YouTube and all the streaming videos, and the idea of actually not making VHS or DVDs anymore, but actually making content for the website was a bit more appealing. So that was the kind of background to it. And in 2012, then we actually started launching our own programs, which were custom made for the internet.
Since then, I believe that you guys moved into a massive studio, 17,000 square feet. That's a huge studio. And where's the studio situated?
Right. Well, it was down in Pembroke Dock in West Wales. It was a massive, massive building. As you say, 17,000 square feet. We had five studios, a lot of staff, and a lot of great success. And we made lots and lots of good things, lots of live streaming, etc. And then COVID hit. And it really caught everybody unaware, and we all started working from home. And then everything changed, because we all discovered Zoom and the idea of chatting to people across the world as opposed to dragging them all down to West Wales to our studios. And in between the two lockdowns, we went back into the studio, but we really weren't using them. So I thought, well, why do we need all these buildings? Why don't we just work remotely, as much as you are now? We can all get together to do our kind of weekly meetings, etc. And now we can all work from home.
So as for you, you discovered opportunities as you go along. You're very adaptable. You mentioned West Wales. When I looked at some information there, I see the word Swansea, and it's got a lot of connections for me. The reason why, when I first moved to the UK from the Far East, the first place I came to live was South Wales. And I
really?
Know about, I know about Swansea, and I met a lot of Welsh people. The mining industry was very big at the time. So I know a lot of Welsh people. I don't speak Welsh.
Neither do I. We're down beyond Wales. We're in what we call Little England beyond Wales.
Because you're based in West Wales. Now you're talking about South Wales. So is it a sort of a connection that Wales is the main location where these Showboat TV is sort of situated?
Yeah, well, I desperately didn't want to give it a geographical title when we launched, because I think then you limit your audience.
Sure.
So I didn't want to be called Pembrokeshire TV or Welsh TV or Wales TV or anything like that, because people outside of that area just won't log on to watch it. So that's why we thought we've got to have a more generic name. And I'll tell you more about the name later on. But so we were down in West Wales, and one of the first programs that we made, again, to get people to actually log on to the site, was a talent show.
Tell me about talent show. Is it called the Welsh Factor?
The Welsh Factor, yeah. Now this
What is that? It's like, I know the X Factor, but what's the Welsh Factor?
Very similar sort of thing. It's a limited company, again, based in the Swansea area. And my son took part in that as a contestant, 2008, something like that.
Yeah.
So when we launched in 2012, I said to the managing directors, how do you fancy doing a show where it's actually made for the internet, And we can get people to vote online and put their favourites through to our final, etc. Which was a kind of naughty way of getting people to log on to the site, because then everybody was saying, "Can you log on and vote for me, please?" And it was the way we actually got launched and got so many people hitting the website. So as a result, we got a lot of traffic in the South Wales area, sort of Swansea, Neath, Port Talbot, Bridgend, and
Cardiff.
Exactly. So a lot of our audience for a long time were based around that side of the country. But again, being non-geographical, and now thanks to Zoom, we're hitting for a much wider audience now. We've gone kind of far more global as a result.
Your company have provided some training programs for young people and also for people with disabilities. So it's like an equal opportunity. And I think this is an amazing thing, because people with various disability, they can benefit with learning. What I mean is, you know, music is something that sort of help bonding people together in the process of learning. Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. I think music crosses generations. It crosses creeds, cultures. You know, no matter what colour you are, what religion you are, music can bind us all together. It's great to see people get up and sing it together. But
music has no boundary. You don't need to understand the language to understand the
very
message
much.
Of music.
Very
music is universal. You can listen to a Italian opera singer, you understand the feeling. So to me, I think music has very strong influences on people's emotions, and
you've
it
just
connects
answered
people.
That so much better than I have. Sorry.
Yeah, it unites people, doesn't it? So tell me, because of the program, what are the talents and things that have been discovered through your projects?
On screen or off screen are we talking
both?
About?
Both.
Let's just kind of hold on to that idea that you talked about the training programs, because I didn't have a bad upbringing by any stretch of the imagination. I was very fortunate, but I didn't have a university education.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was applying for jobs that were suitable to my skills, I didn't have the qualifications and the paperwork to go with it.
Mm.
And then other things I was going to applying for, people were saying, well, you haven't got the experience. And I thought, well, how do I get experience if nobody's going to give me the break in the first place? It's a vicious circle. Mm. So when I became an employer, the first thing I did was I spoke to a training company locally. And I thought, well, they can come in on a work placement, get the experience that they need. And then when they apply for jobs in the industry, at least their CV shows actual experience.
Yeah.
And I also said to them, if as a result of you being here, you make the company slightly more profitable, then there's going to be a pocket of money that we can use to employ you with.
I like your thinking, because in the past, there's always a standard way of thinking when people apply for normal jobs. The first thing they asked you is about what qualifications you have, which university you went to. They do not determine a person's quality, because people's educational life could have been affected by family, by many other factors. I think education itself is not enough to measure one's ability or academic ability. I think if a person was born intelligent, they're intelligent no matter what anyway, because the society
you're so
is
right.
Our education. Society is our
so
education.
Right.
You know, I want to encourage people from our conversation here that just because they don't have the adequate qualification does not mean they're not good enough. I like to encourage people that self-belief,
and again,
with the right
this,
people, there's no need to be ashamed of. They're all good.
And from that point, then everybody is equal. And I think that was an important factor that we had across the board. When anybody came in, we always took them on their own merits. And some people were physically disabled. And I know one guy, I mustn't mention his name, but he was paralyzed on one side. His brain was quite slow, but oh boy, was he accurate. And when it came to doing data entry and looking after our databases and spreadsheets, I knew I could sit back and relax, because he was so accurate in what he did. And you know, he could do that job far more than many of us could, but you know, many employers wouldn't have given him the time of day because first impressions were, you know,
Yeah, there is one example though, is that one man has a bipolar schizophrenic, and he finds that singing helps him to integrate with a community. And one girl has been 100% blind from birth and has a great personality.
Indeed. I'm going to mention their names. You talked about PJ and Star. Now, PJ, as you say, is he's bipolar. He won't mind me talking about him. But oh, can he sing? And he's got such a charisma when he sings. And everybody loves him. And we all kind of gather around. What a guy. You've got so much time for him. Now, Star, again, her blindness doesn't hold her back in any way. She's one of us. And again, because we're very much equal opportunity, we
Sure.
tend to forget. And there was one day when we were going on with scripts, and our next thing we handed Star her script, and we said, "This is what you've got to sing." And then she said, "Well, that's no good to me, is it?" I thought, "Oh, I forgot. I forgot." But because you see past that, and we never look at her as the blind girl or anything like that. We don't see her disability. It's Star. She's our friend. She goes over there and she sings, and we forget about it. So that's how we are. Well, we don't try to be equal opportunity or anything. We just bring people in and forget about them, and they become one of us.
And you play a huge role
Oh, I'm just
in
a
this
hired
wonderful project,
I'm just a
and you
hired
have the
hand.
ability to put things together, on the moment. You are the main organizer, and can you tell me, is your wife involved in this?
Legally and formally, she's not. But like any good marriage, a good man that needs a good woman behind him. And my wife is the producer. She's the coordinator of so many of the shows. Without her, I just couldn't organize half of what goes on. She is the hammer that knocks the nail in, and she just makes sure that everything happens. So she is very much involved, whether she likes it or not.
Oh, you are a good man. What a wonderful team. So where'd you get your music from? Are the music you've written yourself, or mainstream cover songs of famous artists?
It's mostly cover songs. Yeah,
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I'm a fake. I'm just the glue that holds it together. All the talent is around me, and I just pull it all together and make a program.
Well, you're
So.
like a leader. People trust you. They grow with you, believe in you. They progress.
There is some truth there, and we did a very large musical just before the pandemic, and I looked around. I thought, there's all these people who are just kind of getting involved and doing crazy things, and it was just me woke up one morning and thought, I know, let's do this. And somebody really should have shook me by the neck and said, come on, John, grow up now. This isn't going to work. But they all got behind me and said, yes, we'll do it. And we did do it, and it did work, and it was a wonderful project. So,
So, can you tell me the performances, are they all on YouTube now?
no, we don't use YouTube. I've got a very huge disrespect for social media, I'm afraid. So they're all on our website, which is showboat.tv, and you can see all
Is
of
it
our programs on there.
24/7?
It's like a Netflix. We don't do a lot of live
All
streaming,
right. So
so you just log on, and it's all there on demand whenever you want to watch
So
it.
the showboattv.com,
No, showboat.tv.
showboat.tv,
Sorry.
and then you can see all the shows on there.
They're all on there.
And
Absolutely.
is it mainly for recreation? And where do you get the funding from?
Well, it is. There's a lot of free to view content on there. But we do have a subscription area where people can go back and look at the archive and get a preview of our new programs as well, and that basically funds us. So it's just the handful of subscribers that we got. So
Okay, what's your aim to have increased subscriptions from people? Is that what your purpose, or you want to be recognized and eventually appear on the mainstream TV? What's your dreams?
What a fantastic question. And I must write that down to use that in some of my interviews. Look, we've got enough subscriptions to keep us in two meals a day. I'd love to have three, but at the moment I'm happy with two. So we don't need more subscribers. More subscribers would be nice.
Good,
more subscribers
good.
Would be nice, but where we are is happy. So as long as we attract as many subscribers as we lose, then I'm perfectly happy. In terms of, do I want kind of the recognition? No, not really either. I'm just quite happy just doing what we do. I think my real goal is to get to retirement, which is further away than I'd like, but I'm closer to that than I am to the other end of the scale. And I just want to get there and have as much fun as possible. And I want other people to come and have fun. And if I get to my deathbed and say, well, didn't we have a good time?
Aww.
Then that's really what I want to do.
Tell me about your group, because you said Zoom is where things are taking place.
Do you get to meet up together with the students and the performers?
Do you meet up?
Yeah. Again, by accident, through the Welsh Factor, they started up a Sunday night open mic night. And the idea was it was a feed for people to practice and then hopefully go into the competition. And then Welsh Factor pulled out of that, and it became just a normal Sunday night open mic night in our local pub. And then the host retired. And the night was going to fall apart, and I thought, it's not. I'm going to take over. So I now host it. So we do meet up on a Sunday, and it's at the Gremlin Club in Carmarthen.
Yes.
And it's 3 hours of just sound, singing and silliness, really.
You're amazing group of entertainers here. I believe they also have other careers outside this, haven't they?
Oh yes, yeah. This is strictly hobbies and as I say, fun. And there's no baggage. Nobody's careers depend on it.
So I think the society needs something like that. Not just in your area. I think they hopefully take your project as an inspiration and start to think about developing more similar things to Showboat TV all across the world, because I believe that a lot of young people are quite bored, because some of them not necessarily have the money to go to drama school because they're quite expensive.
Going back to what you were saying about some people can't afford to get to drama schools and things. Mm-hmm. In our early years, around about the 2002, 2003, there was one guy who was brilliant actor, but he was more interested in the behind the scenes, and he's now gone on to work with the BBC, and he works as an editor at the BBC because he learned his skills with us, or he practiced his skills with us. And at least two of the actors have now gone into Hollywood films, and one of our stunt characters, he was just a friend, somebody just coming out and having a bit of a fun on a Sunday afternoon. And he got a job in the first Pirates of the Caribbean film.
Wow, congratulations.
I can't take the credit. They were the skills and talents.
So what are the plans going forward, and what are the current projects?
Well, what can I say? We've got some great musical projects coming up through the year. We're currently working on a big number that's going to go out for the summer solstice. It's called The Greatest Show on Earth. We're also doing a paranormal show at the moment with one of the local spiritualists.
Yes, where that's good. Sits, I like that.
He sits in this beautiful Gothic castle, again, not too far from Swansea, called Craigannos. Mm-hmm. And he talks to the spirits who are still resident in the castle. That's a joy. So we've got that going on, and our kind of our usual Zoom interviews and things. But there are two projects at the moment which are taking most of the time.
Well, thank you. It's so interesting to hear. What message you want to give to the general public now?
Oh, just do it. Don't wait to be invited, or don't wait for somebody else to do it. We've got one life, and just live it to the full. Enjoy it. You don't get a second bite at the apple. Just go and live life to the full and have fun.
So people, they got ambition to sing, to perform, and to meet people, contact Showboat TV, John Rowles.
That's it. Well, again, can I I'll give the email address if you like. It is, you've just said it, contact@showboat.tv.
Thank you very, very much. And I'd like to wish you all the very best.
I think it's been an absolute joy.
Thank you.
Take care. Speak to you again soon.
Bye-bye.
Livewire is produced by Steve Osborne Media. Steve Osborne Media.